Chapter 5 on Sunday night, so we'll be starting chapter 6 tonight. Ephesians chapter 6, we're still talking about the family. We've already looked at what Paul said to wives and husbands in chapter 5, and now in chapter 6, in the first four verses of this chapter, he's going to continue to deal with the family. He's going to deal next with children in verses 1 through 3, and then he's going to say a word to fathers in verse number 4. And then after that, we'll see that he has some instruction for servants, beginning in verse 5 and going through verse 9. And after that, we'll move into the very familiar passage of Scripture that deals with the whole armor of God. But first off in this chapter, he continues on with the family. And as you see, verse number 1 begins with the word children. And as I mentioned when we started this study of the family, I believe that Paul's focus here is on Christian families because he's writing to the saints at Ephesus. He's not writing to lost people in Ephesus. He's writing to the saved people in Ephesus. So he's dealing specifically with Christian families, saved husbands, saved wives, and saved children, at least children that have reached the age where they would understand the need to be saved and be able to receive Christ. But I don't think you do the Scripture any disservice if you apply what Paul says here even to families where not everyone is saved. I think you can still take these principles and apply them there as well. I think they're principles that the Lord expects from any family. But he is specifically dealing with Christian families. And here he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. So his instruction to children first is obedience. And then you see in verse number 2 that he goes on to say, honor thy father and mother. And those are two things that are very similar. In fact, I don't think they're separable. If you're not an obedient child, then you are certainly not a child that is honoring your father and mother. So those two things, even though they might be slightly different, really do go hand in hand. One of the greatest ways that a child can honor their father and mother is to obey their father and mother. And if they don't obey, then they're certainly not honoring. But I think one way in which they differ is a child's obedience to their parents is something that at a certain point comes to an end, that responsibility. And what I mean is when they become adults themselves and they get out on their own, they have their own families, then at that point they're no longer responsible to obey their fathers and mothers. At that point they have to stand on their own two feet and they have to live the life they believe God expects them to live. But the matter of honoring your father and mother is something that is a lifelong responsibility. That's not something that comes to an end at a certain age. So they're different in that respect, just different in that obedience eventually is a responsibility that is not there for a child, where honoring is there throughout their entire life. But he says there in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, I want you to hold your place here and look over just a couple of books to the book of Colossians. And I want you to notice what Paul says over here about children being obedient to their parents. And just let me ask those of you in here, how many of you agree with the Word of God when it says, children, obey your parents? Well, I felt like that's how you believed. But let me ask you this. How many of you ladies agree with the Bible where it says that you're to obey your husbands? Didn't get but like one hand raised that time. Did we suddenly become non-Bible believers around here? Did we change? You understand what I'm saying, though? I'm amazed. The longer I'm in the ministry, I'm amazed at how people pick and choose what parts of the Bible they want to listen to. They treat it like a buffet, you know, where you go to a restaurant and you just go along there. Well, I like this, so I'll have some of that. But I don't like that. I don't want any of that. That's the way a lot of people treat the Bible. They go along, and if it's something that they don't have a problem with, well, okay, well, I'll do that. Or they'll take a certain teaching in the Bible and they'll apply it until it hits home with them, and then they no longer want to apply it. It's like a double standard type thing. It's a responsibility for these people, but that's not going to be something that I'm going to obey or honor in my life. But anyways, the Bible says, I've already showed it to you, what the Bible says. And here we're talking about children. Colossians 3, verse 20. Colossians 3, 20. He says, children, obey your parents in all things. Not some things, but in all things. So a child is to obey his or her parents in all things. Now, here's what I believe about that. I believe there is an exception to this rule. And I believe that exception would be where a parent demands that a child do something that is in violation of the Word of God. Now, if they're telling their children to do something that's against God, I don't feel like the children are responsible to obey that. But beyond that, I believe exactly what the Bible says. I believe children are to obey their parents in all things, whether they like what their parents have to say or not. And those of us that are in the process of raising children, or those that have raised children already, you know there's a lot of times that your children don't like what you have to say. You know they don't like certain things you require of them. But it really doesn't matter if they like it or not, okay? As long as you're not telling them to do something that goes against the Bible, they're supposed to do it. And they're supposed to do it without a spirit of rebellion. They're to do it without fussing and griping back. And they're to just do it because mom and dad tells them to do it. And when they don't, then according to the Bible, that disobedience and that spirit of rebellion has to be dealt with. And when it's not dealt with, then that child just grows up being a rebel. That's what happens. When mothers and fathers won't deal with disobedience in their children, they just let it go, and, you know, then what they're doing is raising a rebel. And they're going to grow up, and they're going to defy authority later on in their life, because if they won't listen to their mom and dad, why in the world would they listen to their teacher at school? If they're not going to listen to mom and dad, why would they listen to an officer of the law when he tells them to do something? Y'all follow what I'm saying? So that stuff has to be dealt with. But the thing in the Bible is that children are to obey their parents in all things. Unless the parents are directing them to do something against the Bible, then they are to comply. They are to obey their parents. And look at the motivation in this thing right here in verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. I'm going to talk about something that God likes, that pleases the Lord. One thing that is well-pleasing, it's not just pleasing, the Bible says it is well-pleasing unto the Lord when a child is obedient. So that's something that makes God happy. And if you look back here at Ephesians where we're at, it says this in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So why should a child obey? Because it's right. That's what God says. It's the right thing to do. And not only is it the right thing to do, but it is well-pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. And it's a way that a child can honor his father and mother. Now let me show you what Paul says. Turn to 2 Timothy with me for just a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'll show you one thing that Paul says about the last days, which I think is pretty clear that we're living in the last days and have been for a long time. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul begins the chapter by talking about how things are going to be in the last days. And he says this in verse 1, he says, "This know also." This know. So it's not something we have to wonder about or be in question about. We can just know it. "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." The word perilous means dangerous. So Paul says in the last days the times are going to be dangerous. And then he explains why it's going to be that way. Look at verse number 2. He says "for." And "for" is a conjunction, right? That means because. So he says, this is how it's going to be in the last days. And he says, this is why it's going to be that way. Because, number one, men shall be lovers of their own selves. We see that a lot nowadays, don't we? Just lovers of their own selves. All about me, what I want. I have a right to be happy. It's all about me. Covetous. Boasters. Proud. Blasphemers. And what's that next one? Disobedient to parents. Right in the middle of what he's saying about the last days, he said this is going to be a problem during the last days. You're going to have children that are disobedient to their parents. And I think we're seeing that a lot now. It seems to me like it's at a greater level than it's ever been. Just the disrespect and the rebellion that is seen in children nowadays toward their parents. All this business. Remember back some years ago where, I forget now, some child got mad with his mom and dad and he took them to court, wanted to divorce his mom and dad, you know. And go out in public now and see how kids act toward their parents. But Paul says in the last days that's going to be a problem. Disobedient to parents. But here's what I think, okay? I am inclined to believe that the main reason why that's going to be a problem is not necessarily because the children become sorrier, but because the parents become sorrier. Because here's what I believe. As long as that child is growing up in your home, you are responsible for those children. And later on when they get older and they get out, you may not be able to do a thing in the world about it. But while they're in your house, living under your roof, sticking their feet under your table, and you're paying the bills, you have every right in the world to demand obedience from those children. And if they will not comply, you make them comply. That's the way it should be. And I think what we're seeing now that's resulting in so much disobedience in children is parents that won't do what they're supposed to do. They won't handle their children the way the Bible says they're supposed to handle them, and so the disobedience gets out of hand. So that's my thought on that. The reason why that's going to be such an issue in the last days and why we see it being such an issue is because the parents are not doing like they ought to with their children. And I also realize that the way things are in society now, that it has made it increasingly difficult for parents to do all that they're supposed to do with their children. Because now, if you handle children not in a, and y'all understand, I'm not in any way insinuating that you should handle kids wrong. There's a right way and a wrong way to discipline children. But even now, just the slightest thing, you can get locked up for it. You know, just a kid say some little thing to some teacher at school or whatever, next thing you know, you're in jail for abuse. When you look, by today's standards, my mama would have been in jail for life, okay? Because She believed, we didn't have a rod of correction like the Bible talks about. We had a razor strap of correction. It hung in our living room wall, all on our living room wall, my entire young life, and not one time did anybody ever sharpen a dad-blamed razor on that thing. But I felt it several times. And it sickens me nowadays, these weak-minded people that have been so brainwashed, you know, oh, well, she abused me. My mother did not abuse me. You know what my mother did? She worked hard, put a roof over my head, clothes on my back, made sure I got an education, loved me unconditionally, and when I needed it, tore my butt off. And I love my mother, and I respect my mother from that. And well, I was going to say it did not damage me mentally, but some of y'all might challenge me on that. This isn't a bragging statement, okay? Please don't take it that way. I'm not trying to brag or whatever, but I think I turned out all right. I mean, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm in the ministry, trying to minister. And a part of how I turned out was how I was raised. So I think parents are really messing up when they want to handle things. I mean, either the Bible's right or it's wrong, okay? And I believe it's right on everything. On every issue, I believe it is the final authority. So if I want to know how to raise my kids, I don't go talk to Dr. Phil or Oprah Winfrey. I read my Bible and see what God says. And then I do what the Bible says I'm supposed to do. So if we get back to the Bible, we do it God's way, then things are different. But because we won't do it God's way, then things get worse and worse and worse and worse. You just go downhill more and more every year. But children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Then he says, honor thy father and mother. And notice he puts in parenthesis here, which is the first commandment with promise. Do you know what he's talking about there when he says the first commandment with promise? He's talking about the Ten Commandments that you have back in Exodus chapter 20. Now, honor thy father and mother was not the first commandment, but it was the first commandment that had a promise connected to it. That's what he means when he says, which is the first commandment with promise. It was actually the fifth commandment given chronologically. But it was the very first one in that list that actually had a promise connected to it. And here's the promise. It's in verse 3. First of all, that it may be well with thee. And then secondly, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So God tells children all the way back there in Exodus when he gives the law. And this, by the way, shows you that people who teach that because we're now under the new covenant and in the New Testament that we can just ignore everything that's in the Old Testament, it has no bearing on our life whatsoever, that's not correct, okay? There's a lot of times where somebody in the New Testament reaches right back there in the Old Testament and pulls something out of that law and puts it right down on us right now, living in this time, this age, under the new covenant. And this is one of those examples. When God gave the Ten Commandments that most everybody is familiar with, at least have heard about at some point in time in their life, when he gave that, one of those commandments was honor thy father and mother. And what Paul is showing right here is that that commandment never changed. Is still in effect. When God said it back there, he meant it, and it still applies now. So children, even now, are still to honor their father and mother. And the promise is one, that it may be well with thee. That has to do with your quality of life, that it may be well with thee. In other words, that you can have a good life. So God pays attention to whether a child honors his father and mother or not. The Lord is paying attention to children and how they are, especially once children get up old enough to understand biblical principles. When a child gets up an age where they can read in the Bible or have somebody read them the Bible and say, look, God expects you to obey your mother and father. From that point forward, God is very much paying attention to that child and how that child is toward his mother and father or her. And the same with honor thy father and mother. He's watching every child to see if they're doing that. And here's the reward. If a child honors his father and mother, then number one, it will be well with thee. Has to do with quality of life. And then, that thou mayest live long on the earth. That has to do with the quantity of life. How long you actually get to live. I don't have any doubt that there's many a child that's died a premature death. I don't doubt that. Died well before God intended for them to die. And I've heard all my life, and you probably have too, that God has a set day that he says you're going to die, and that's when you're going to die, and nothing will ever alter or change that. Well, that may sound real good, but that's not exactly biblical, okay? That's one of those things that sounds good, and it just gets handed down from one generation to the next, but that's actually not supported by the Word of God. What the Bible teaches is there are situations where you can extend your life or you can shorten your life. Now, I do believe that God has a day that he intends for an individual to live to, but whether they make it to that point or not sort of is on them in a lot of ways. This is what the Bible says. It says that the man that fears the Lord prolongeth his days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Y'all hear that? The years of the wicked shall be shortened. He's going to lose some years that he could live because he chooses to be a wicked person, or she. Either way, it makes no difference, man or woman. And I think about a passage over in the Old Testament where God sent the prophet Isaiah to a king by the name of Hezekiah. Y'all remember him? And he goes in there and he tells him, he says, you get your house in order because God says you're going to die and not live. Isaiah turns around, walks out. And before he can get off property, Hezekiah rolls over and he starts praying and begging God to extend his life. And before Isaiah can get off property, God says, you go back and tell him I'm going to give him 15 more years to live. And he turns around, goes back, and gives him the message. He extended his life for 15 years beyond the point where God said he was going to die. Y'all see that? So this idea of, you have this set time and you can live any way you want to and do anything you want to and ignore the Word of God and not care what God says and you're going to live that exact day, that is not true. You can extend or shorten your time on earth based on how you respond to what God says in the Bible. And I have no doubt that many a person has died a premature death, died years before God ever intended for them to die. And it's because they didn't do what they were supposed to do. And here's an illustration of that. Based on what you read right here, a child's quality of life and quantity of life is related to whether or not they honor their father and mother. Yes, ma'am. Well, I think it's probably got a lot of definitions, really. I don't think there's like one definition that you could give or one example you could give of honor. I think there's a whole lot of ways that a person can honor their parents. Like I mentioned earlier, one of them obviously is obedience. While they're young or at home before they get out, one of the greatest ways they can honor their parents is to be obedient to their parents. But I think it's also, Brother Gene mentioned respect, just showing your parents respect. And that is something that you should do, obviously, even beyond the years when you're responsible to obey your parents. You should try to respect them as much as you possibly can. And say that again. Privilege. That's what that word means. One of the definitions are.
Privilege.
Yeah.
Esteem.
Yeah.
Respect.
Yeah. I think it has to do with a lot of stuff. Just the way you talk to them, manners, talking to your parents respectfully, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. Of course, maybe that's just a thing we do around here. I don't know. But anyway, I think that's part of it. And I would be the first to admit that honoring your mom and dad, or your mom or your dad, isn't always easy, because sometimes you have a parent that's just a bad parent, you know, that, you know, you look at it and you have to search for a reason to honor them because of how they are. But I think maybe one way you can honor a parent in that situation, like if you have a parent that's just bad, one way you can honor them is by just not being ugly to them. You don't necessarily have to laud them with praise or, you know, do a whole bunch of things for them. Maybe the way you honor a parent like that is what you don't do, more so than what you do, where you might could let them get to you and you say some things and do some things, and the way you would honor is just don't say anything. Just keep those things to yourself. So I think it involves a lot of different things, really. And I think it would be taking care of them as they get older, you know, in life, and their health begins to decline. If you're able to help take care of them, I think it's a good way to honor your parents. And one thing, when you have a situation, you have parents that are not doing like they should, it's kind of like we've talked before, other people have talked before, about a person having a position in life. You may not necessarily like that person. You may not even agree with that person about things, but you show them respect because of their position. Like the President of our United States, for example. You don't necessarily have to like President Trump or even agree with President Trump, but he is the president of this land here, and he deserves respect just simply for the fact that he is the president of this country. That's what I believe. That position deserves our respect. And I think it's the same with parents. I may not, or somebody may not agree with their mom and dad's life and the way they live. Certainly if you have children that get saved and they're living for the Lord and have parents and aren't saved and aren't living for God, then there's obviously going to be some differences there. But the children can respect them just because they're their parents. You understand what I'm saying? So I think there's a lot of ways that you can do it. I don't know if that answered any of your question, but that's what I think.
But after a child comes of age, you think the obedience part is kind of...
Yeah, well, now my thought on that is, as long as they're living at home, I don't care if they're 45 years old, if they are living under your roof, then they ought to abide by your rules in that home. Once they leave that house, whether it's at 18 or 20, whatever, and get out on their own, then I don't feel like they have to obey their parents after that anymore. I don't think that means that they can't go back and get advice from their parents or talk to their parents, because that would probably be a wise thing to do, you know, if you got big decisions to make and that sort of thing. But especially when they get married. You know, well, like I mentioned earlier, not to bring this sore subject back up, but I mentioned earlier about how the Bible talks about women obeying their husbands. Well, say you get a man and woman, they're married, and the husband expects this from his wife, but her mom and dad expect something different. Now, who is she to obey? Her husband or her mom and dad? Y'all understand that? I didn't ask you if you agreed with it. I asked you to understand that. Well, that's the way it is. You can't have a divided loyalty. A house divided against itself cannot stand, the Bible says. You can't have a woman trying to obey her parents and her husband at the same time when they're pulling in completely different directions. You can't do that. That's going to tear the family apart. So that's what I think about that. Any other questions? We'll just stop here. Any other questions? suspect he did.
For the next few days after that.
But you know, a lot of people today would call that abuse, though.
No, but that's just what I was going to say. There's a lot of people who are not in favor of what he did. Lots of people.
Well, lots of people can be wrong. I think what we're creating now is where a mom and a dad have to live in fear of the children. It's not that I tell my son what to do. I'm supposed to just let him tell me what to do all the time. Just boss me around, smart off of me, smart off at his mama. It's just not going to happen where I live. It's just not going to happen. I'm sorry. I mean, you know.